22:14. Keep looking at the table. Keep looking at the table. Luke 22, when the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup. And after giving thanks, he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. The word of God for the people of God. Ask yourself, is it I? Is it me? The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall mark for you the beginning of months. You've been enslaved all of this time, but now this is a new beginning. This is the month of months. On the 10th of this month, called Nisan, not March or April, those are all from the Julian calendar, which was instituted by Julius Caesar right before Jesus was born in 45 BC. They used a different calendar. They used a different calendar. That's what cultural genocide looks like, okay? They used a different calendar. Take a lamb and slaughter it. If a family is too small for a lamb, two families can share a lamb. Take some of the blood from the lamb and put it on the doorposts. Eat the flesh that very same night. This is how you should eat it. Your loins girded, sandals on your feet. Get ready to go. It is a Passover offering, it says in Exodus chapter 12. And this was the first Passover meal. A meal of promise for new beginnings. A meal of sharing. A meal of sacrifice. A meal that was connected to their lives. A meal for God, from God. Where Jesus says in Luke 22, verse 8, go and prepare the Passover meal. And when the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. And he said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Remember last week, heaven here, heaven now. You see it again in that scripture. I couldn't do it until it was time, until the time here was right, Jesus says. Then he took a cup and after giving thanks said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will not eat of this bread or drink of this vine until the kingdom comes. I don't know about you, but I get the sense that they pretty much immediately stopped listening to what Jesus was trying to tell them. Did you hear that story? Did you hear how I was told? I didn't skip from like one verse to the next verse later on. I just told it in chronological order there. What Jesus was trying to tell them and what he was doing in that moment, Passover, at Passover, what was symbolic about this moment? It says in verse 24, which means immediately after Jesus sat the cup down very carefully, immediately after he did that, that a dispute rose among them as to who would be the greatest among them. The man hasn't even died yet. He's still sitting right there in front of them.
He's giving them this symbol by which they can live their lives, this table, this opportunity that there are some things he doesn't even have to say to them because they would understand it because it's Passover. A message and a meaning is in the room and at the table already. All you have to do is be paying attention. All the disciples have to do is listen to him. But they can't. I am here as one who serves, Jesus says. Hint, hint. And I confer upon you just as God has conferred upon me. Just as God has conferred upon me a kingdom. Hint, hint. And what are we talking about greatness for anyway? Peter, in a couple hours, you're going to be acting like you never knew me. Greatness. I'm trying to reach you and to teach you something about this bread and this cup. Do you even hear me? And I think for all the romanticization of the first communion, if you look at it, the first communion was pretty much a disaster. Wasn't it? It was a disaster. Did they even eat the bread and drink the cup? Like, they just got to arguing right away. Jesus is trying to explain something, and they so don't get it to such an extent that when he goes back to talking about time being fulfilled and sharing with them, they say, Jesus, look, we got two swords right here. We're going to stop them from killing you. And he just replies, it is enough. Have you ever had anybody like this in your life who where they talking and they sound so crazy? You just got to say, that's enough. Just, I love you. Just please stop talking right now. Just stop talking right now. In other words, that's enough. It is enough. You clearly have not been listening to me at all. Just stop talking. Let's get on with it. Let's just go to the garden and get what we got to get done, done. I owe my definition of sin to Langdon Gilkey, who described it very simply as the inward turn of the self. The inward turn of the self is sin. His definition comes from his experience at a Japanese internment camp during World War II, watching people fight over potatoes and refusing to share with one another, and people being oppressed, sharing that oppression with one another, sharing oppression with their neighbor, sharing their pain as if abuse is how we grow closer. But don't think about it sociologically. When we are turned inward, says Gilkey, all manner of neglect, all manner of abuse, all manner of evil becomes possible against others and against the self. And not only is it possible, but when we are turned inward, this abuse and neglect and evil is likely because we don't have to deal with it ourselves. We give it to other people. All that matters in that moment is our protection, our pleasure, our satisfaction. When we are turned inward, it becomes about us. I like this definition of sin and use it to judge my own actions and thoughts because it is the opposite of God. It is the opposite of Passover. It is the opposite of the first communion, and it nails down the response of the disciples so turned inward that they cannot receive the grace, no, the power, no, they can't even get the point of God. Because for them, the point of God is to make them great. No, that's too easy. Make great again. Too easy. You did that in your head already. You're doing it in your head already. I'm not going to do it. You're doing it already. But how can they be so selfish? To sit at the table and to believe that this meal is all about them. How, church, can Treasure Island Grocery Store decide to close and lay off workers? Some finding out when they came in to start their shift that this was their last day, which is illegal, by the way. Knowing that these folks are not pension workers, high paid, no. How can you abandon them? Because capitalism is the systematic version of the inward turn. A worker has no seat at the table, much less an immigrant, but how? Jason Van Dyke went against protocol. He had to be stopped by his partner. It's not hard to say, even in front of other people, I got scared. I lost control. I didn't know what to do. This was my first time. I'd never pointed a gun at anybody before. But instead, well, he had bugged out eyes and it looked like he was coming at me. To lose control in such a way that you pull the trigger until it's empty. And to reload and then have to be told by your partner to stop. And when faced with the chance to tell the truth, to lie on this brother with a videotape that you hoped that nobody would see because it proved you wrong. The action, the cover-up, the outrage of the testimony this week, and he almost got away with it. So many have gotten away with it. How? Church, can a woman make a claim of abuse and be spurned for it and be told that something is wrong with her? She's crazy. How, when testifying for himself, can a man not even allow her pain to be real, but to dismiss her and to lie, 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 lie? Donald Trump said a couple days ago, it's a very scary time for a young man in America. The senators knew. We all knew that he wasn't the one, but whose table is this? Anything is permissible when one person or two parties have turned inward. But how? We know who thinks the table belongs to them. In this city, in this nation, and in this world. But say it with me, church. How? This is what happens when fear of accountability causes us to turn inward and make this all about us. These aren't new times or end times that we're facing. These times are just like 2,000 years ago. They were just like this back then. The disciples sitting over a table like this. Jesus, their best friend, their leader, their teacher, maybe savior. They're still figuring that out. But Jesus, the most important person in their world, is saying goodbye to them. Which one of us is the greatest? How? Beware the inward turn of the self. It will have you justifying death and justifying the genocide of people, the genocide of cultures like the Mayans who found and settled Guatemala. It'll have you believing that their land is your land. Their resources are your resources. People exist on this in this world to serve you. That people are to be dominated, especially if they look different from us. We should dominate them. It'll have you afraid of everyone else at the table because what might happen to you? Joan Didion once said, to cure jealousy is to see it for what it is, a dissatisfaction of the self. Being threatened by the presence of others simply because they are not like us. And then to approach the table, either here or at any other church, to approach the table for communion, and then to go back out and continue to be afraid of people who are different from us, of people who think different from us, to continue to be jealous, to continue to hoard, to cause injury to others, is to miss communion altogether. This isn't about you. Some people need to hear that, y'all, in and out of church. This isn't about you. I wish we'd say that sometimes to ourselves. This isn't about you, which is so easy to miss because our religion and its tradition and the theology around the table has become so transactional that you come to this table to receive the grace of God, that you come to get something. This is where you receive forgiveness. This is where you get to be made whole again. Look at this table. This is not a Grace gas station where we re-up, where we confess our sins so we can go do some more and come to the table again. This is not what this is. This is where we are reminded to forgive, not be forgiven. We come here to be reminded that we must forgive, that we must share, that even in our anxiety of our possessions, of what we don't have, that we give. It is where we struggle. And it is where in our struggle we remember the struggle and suffering of those that are next to us, the political struggle happening in Guatemala right now and throughout Central America, to know that wherever you are not the only one struggling right now. This is not my table, this is our table. It's where we hope for new beginnings and the grace of an opportunity that we've been waiting for, a full-time job to go next to them two part-time jobs, and praying for and desperate for, to know that if God did it in Egypt, God can do it in Chicago. This is our table. It's a meal where we are reminded about the value of sacrifice, a hard sacrifice that gives us a chance at redemption for us. It's a meal connected to our lives. Jesus did this on Passover to remind us that he lived and died for freedom. Freedom now, so that people could be liberated on earth as it is in heaven. That the freedom of Passover happened over a meal, and the freedom of Jesus happened over a meal. And then, that my favorite part, then after all this, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is yours. This is not my table," he says. "It ain't about me and it ain't about you. This is our table." And yes, it is a meal where God promises us justice. Even if those who hold power will not give it to us willfully, this is our table, and it only works when we share it together. In a moment, you will be invited to this table two times. But first, consider how you may be turned inward, where your fear or jealousy or anger or worry has taken a situation and kicked God out of the center so that you could be there in the center all by yourself. Beware the inward turn of the self. It will make you a disciple in ways you did not anticipate. Amen. Use this silence.